It's a new day on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Mike Levin's here on the mic. We also have Al and Susan Locke with us this morning. Call in. Let your voice be heard. 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-TALK. Or 1-877-667-1180. 1-877-667-1180. There's never a shortage of news to talk about. Never a shortage. We have new developments on Hillary Clinton and her emails. Now the House Select Committee on Benghazi is requesting her server. Do they have subpoena authority? That is the question. Some would say that they do not. Others would say that they do, or that it will eventually get to that point where it will be subpoenaed. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. Welcome to the program, and thanks for listening. Call in 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK or 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. Hillary Clinton just can't seem to dodge this one. Now, the House Select Committee on Benghazi is requesting to have her entire server. That's right. They're not, Trey Gowdy's not going to settle for anything less because, again, let's go over the process that Hillary had for sorting through her emails. Now, the process was, according to her and her aides, that they sorted through 30,000 emails. That's how it came off initially. Well, we'll come to find out that now what the process actually was they typed in a few keywords like Benghazi. I believe it was only two or three. It was not even thorough. And they searched through all the emails, and any emails that got a hit, they turned them over to the State Department, and 30,000 other emails were deemed personal and were not sent to the State Department and apparently deleted. So all that information is gone. So that's where we're at now. We also were told that Hillary Clinton sent a majority of her emails, and if you think on why are we talking about the emails again, we'll get this. She said that she sent the majority of her emails to senior aides who had government accounts and that those would be stored on government files automatically. That is the story we were told. Come to find out now that most of those senior aides were using personal email accounts on Clinton's server in Chappaqua, New York. So not only were they personal emails, they were on the server, her own personal server in Chappaqua. That's where these senior aides' emails, which were supposed to be government emails, so that they could be stored, so that Hillary Clinton's correspondence with them could be stored and logged, are being stored on her own personal server as well. So that's three lies now? So that's where we're at with Hillary Clinton, and that's probably what brought the Select Committee on Benghazi to request her server. Now, is this going to be elevated to the point where someone will be able to have subpoena power and be able to get that server guaranteed and look through it? It may. But it's very funny to watch because if you look at Hillary when she's at the press conference in the UN where she made her first comment on this and everyone was going, oh, she needs to comment. She needs to comment. Even Democrats were saying she needs to comment. And now it's kind of come out of the light a little bit. It's dumbed down now. Everyone's like, okay, she said something. That's all we need. It's like many people are just saying, listen, we want her to run. Okay, she would be the first woman president for, especially in the Democratic Party. Running is going to be a great thing for us, so just leave it be. Let it settle down, and that's not happening. So we'll see where this goes. But before we get into anything more, let's get into the scripture of the day. And today our scripture is Deuteronomy 28, verse 16, and we're going to jump down a little bit, actually. But let's read. Now, what this is, are these are the curses that God... So, right before this, there were blessings. And this is between Israel and God. This is a covenant between Israel and God. So, first and foremost, this is directly applicable to the Israelites and their dealings with God. Now, why am I bringing up this scripture? We're talking about America here. Well, you'll see why in just a little bit. So this is between Israel and God, and it starts with blessings if they follow God's laws, the Ten Commandments. And it starts before that at verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city, and it goes on and on and on with many, many blessings, some of which are hard for us to understand today. They're on livestock, different things like that. But all of those things, if they prospered, were a sign of a prosperous nation and a strong economy. Let's go down to the curses, because this is very interesting. Let's start at 16, and then we're going to jump down further than that. Cursed shall you be in the city. This is if they do not follow God's commandments and laws. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall you, that's a word that's used a lot, isn't it? Shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. In other words, food, grains. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks, which again, in ancient times is very important for the prosperity of a nation, especially a nation of herders like the Israelites. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursing, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hands to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. Now, this is where the rubber hits the road. Let's jump down now. And I don't have which specific verse this is, but it is in 28. It looks like it's probably around verse 30 or so, but let me read this. Now, a lot of people are going to take this, they may even take this as what I'm saying is racist, and they're not racist in the slightest. This is scripture. Let's read. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. Now, that simply means someone who is outside of the Israelite nation, which was very important in Scripture because aliens, quote-unquote, in Scripture usually were those who had practices that were not honoring of Yahweh, of God. And then, that's 43, thank you, Susan, for holding that up. They did not have practices, they worshipped other gods, which were against God's covenant. That's usually how an alien was characterized, and God was very careful in the Old Testament to keep his people from doing that. So that does not necessarily mean just someone who is another race can be discriminated against. The alien who is among you, again, someone who has practices that are not honoring of God. They worship other gods, or they practice some kind of idolatry, whatever have you. They shall rise higher and higher above you. This is if they don't follow God's covenant, if they sin, essentially, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. I think we should all find that directly applicable. There's a nation, there's plenty of nations that the United States is lending to, or being lent to, excuse me, that where we are not being the lenders, we are the ones being lent to. And might I add, we have been lent to quite a bit. Now, how is this? This is for Israel. A lot of people who really are into the scripture there may sit there and go, you're ripping this out of context. Well, I think that there's a theme in here that's much deeper and more applicable to us directly, that if we continue, if we sin, because I've talked on the program a lot about this, all of the political issues we talk about here, that's all fine and dandy. Most of the time it's not, but it's all fine and dandy. We could talk and amount to complaining all day, but what is it going to get done? The real change that has to happen, not just in our leadership and in our politics, but in ourselves, is to submit and to devote our lives to God. And who is that through? That's through Jesus Christ. That's the answer to all of our problems. That's what I put forward. What do you say? 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. But because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything, therefore you shall serve your enemies, whom the Lord will send against you in hunger, in thirst, in nakedness and in need of everything, and he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. Again, directly applicable to Israel. Does that have some application to us? Not necessarily as America having the same kind of covenant as Israel did, but if we forsake God as a whole, this nation which identified a majority as Christians in years past, and still does, but we see something very contrary to that in our society today and in our government, all of this, are we ready for what that may bring and not following God's word? Because that is the only answer. We've got to head to a break. Want to hear some of your thoughts on this. 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. We'll be back. Happy Tuesday! I don't know if anyone ever says Happy Tuesday or not. I've heard Happy Monday. Sometimes Wednesday, because it's hump day, you know, the now famous commercials with the camel, you know, with Geico. I actually have a t-shirt that actually says that. That actually has the whole spiel on it from that Geico commercial, the hump day commercial. You have the camel walking around. And so Tuesday, Wednesday, not really Tuesday. It's not really in that. And then Thursday, everyone just wants to get through, and then they say Happy Friday. You're on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Mike Levins here and Al and Susan Locke. Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. Plenty happening in the news. We were just talking before about Clinton's emails. That's Mrs. Hillary Clinton's emails and the new developments there. The House Select Committee on Benghazi has requested her server. Now, Clinton has said time and time again that this is not going to happen because she deems that the rest of the information on that server is personal. Now, the Select Committee has suggested that there be an independent third party who does the reviewing. I love that term because you think, okay, is there really any independent third party anymore? But supposedly an independent third party who is going to do the reviewing, sort through the emails, and basically go, these are pertinent, these are not. Of course, they have one heck of a job. I wouldn't want it. It's 30,000 of them. And that's if they could even find them, because I would love to see, if this happens, if they're able to secure the server, that by some miracle, they're not able to access, because I believe these emails were deleted. I believe these 30,000 or so that were deemed personal were deleted. Now, some of the more computer savvy of those who are listening will know that even if they're deleted, you can actually still access them. There are forensic instruments and tools, software, hardware, where you can actually recover that data. I would love to see those hard drives missing, because a server usually has multiple hard drives in it. I would love to see those hard drives missing and where there is nothing when they actually get the server. Because I promise you, she will dodge this as much as she can. And you can look at it from the perspective of, well, should we really be rifling through all of her personal emails? Well, when you're running for president, and when you have mixed work with play, as Clinton has claimed, you kind of leave yourself open to a whole can of worms there, and it's really unavoidable at this point, I think. What do you think? 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. Back to our scripture of the day. We're in Deuteronomy 28:16, all the way down at 43. Now let's see my screen. Let's see if I can find it here. It's on my screen, so all the way down. I've got a whole wall of scripture looking at me right now. Ah, here it is. The alien who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and shall come down, and you shall come down lower and lower. Talked about this in the last segment. What an alien was is someone who was not an Israelite, but usually what that entailed was that they had practices that were not akin to worship of God. They were worship of some other god, and that was really the main characterization of an alien. Because let's bring up another famous alien for a moment in Scripture. Rahab in the city of Jericho, who was spared. And actually, that story is an allusion to Jesus Christ. But when the Israelites were taking over Jericho, they sent spies and they stayed with Rahab. And Rahab said, "We've heard of your people. We're terrified of them." And Rahab asked to be spared. And they said, "Of course. If you just let down a scarlet cord from your window." And her house was in the wall of Jericho, which of course collapsed. The walls collapsed. Hers was the only one standing. And it was a scarlet cord that was the sign to the Israelites not to attack that house. An allusion to Christ, really. And she is even in the lineage of Christ, if you look in Matthew. So is God racist? No. He is not racist. He's not against anyone but the Israelites. Rahab was not an Israelite, and yet we find her in the lineage of Christ. So when it says alien, it's mainly referring to those who are not only outside of the nation, but who have practices against Yahweh, the God of the Bible. The alien will be the head, essentially. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. And that's where the rubber hits the road, as I say. Welcome to the program. If you just joined us, it's a new day in 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty, talking about our scripture of the day and how it applies to us as a nation. Talk about some deep material for your morning drive. He shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. How much have we been lent to as a nation? Can anyone tell me? What is it? Amount to 16.8? I don't know. I have to check it because it's increasing every day. $1 trillion in debt. Much of that is lent to us from China. That's the one that's famous on the news media, and I would have to look it because I'm sure they're not the only lender that we have. But are we seeing these curses, which were meant for Israel, coming on our nation, not because we have a covenant with God, but because, and the covenant's like an agreement, right? But because the hearts and minds of our men and women in this nation, they're turning away from him. And it's reaping huge loss among our nation. And how are we going to fix it? We could sit here and talk about the news all day, and we're going to talk about the news. But what's the solution? Because if I got on here and just complained all day, then that's no good. There's nothing good to come of that. What's the solution? I believe it's in Jesus Christ.
Let me interject here, Michael. Not all the views expressed but on this program or any of the programs here at WFYL are necessarily the opinion of the management. And, you know, in regard to the current subject and everything, I think it's almost beyond dispute. Maybe some people would argue about it, but I think the nation does need to repent and basically get right with God. I think you're absolutely right, and the Bible, as you correctly indicate, has severe punishments for nations that basically don't do according to the godly plan. So I think we do need to humble ourselves and basically make ourselves more godly, more pious, more holy, so that God will change his mind in some of the punishments that that we deserve. We obviously deserve quite a bit. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and this is something that I personally am thankful for. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thankful for too. But yes, we need to concentrate on making our little corner of the world, ourselves, better and getting right with God and the nation, hopefully through revival and other means that God will send as a result of us are humbling ourselves better. So thanks for bringing this up and reminding us how serious the punishments are.
Well, that's as we say, that's why we get paid the big bucks, right? Boy, hey, we're going to a break. 1180 WFYL, it's a new day. That was Alan Locke, you heard. Mike Levins and Susan Locke here this morning. Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. We'll be back after this. A developing story from France, the southern French Alps. What is it, flight or no? 148 on board in a plane that just, apparently we're just learning about, Germanwings Airbus 320 crashed in the French Alps en route to Dusseldorf, Germany from Barcelona, Spain. France's president said Tuesday that no one was likely to have survived the crash, unfortunately, of a passenger plane with 148 people on board that went down in the French Alps. The Airbus 320 operated by Germanwings had crashed while flying to Dusseldorf. 142 passengers and 6 crew members on board. It's a budget airline run by Lufthansa and primarily used by Europeans for booking weekend getaways or business trips. It's a tragedy on our soil. That was Francois Hollande, who added that he would be speaking shortly with German Chancellor Angela Merkel, as it was probable that most of the victims were German. Our hearts and prayers go out to the victims of this tragedy. We'll bring you more on this story as it develops. You're listening to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL. 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Al, Susan Locke, and Mike Levins here on the Morning Talk. As you're driving, good morning, everyone.
Michael, I have a comment on that last story you mentioned, the Airbus 320 going down in the French Alps. I've been personally tracking the Airbus 320, and we've had several, like 4 or 5 incidences of these planes going down. And what brought it to my attention is that one of the pilots, American pilot, said he refused to fly Airbus, and he gave some very interesting readings, reasons for not wanting to fly Airbus. Apparently, the French, the Europeans, have designed the Airbus so it's mostly computer-controlled. And in American planes like Boeing, you have the option to override the computer and take manual control of the plane if something goes wrong. It's kind of a long-standing American tradition. In the European version, the Airbus, the computer overrides the pilot and takes control of the plane. And this can get the Airbus into a lot of trouble. The first time it came to mind is flights from Brazil to Portugal, I believe, to Europe anyway, and basically flying through some stormy weather, an Airbus went down. And what could have happened, and it was kind of validated by the fact that the Airbus company flew some new sensors to Brazil immediately after the crash, is that if the sensors ice up and the airspeed drops to zero, according to the sensors, the computer, you know, shuts down the engines and does all kinds of, in other words, garbage in equal garbage out with a computer. So if the sensors fail, the Airbus takes radical measures and basically takes the control of the airplane away from the pilot, and the plane might be flying normally, it might be able to fly normally, but the computer, without the computer override from the pilot, causes the plane to crash. And this happened in Indonesia. I think that Sully basically landing in the Hudson was an Airbus. This latest plane is an Airbus. I've been working at Boeing recently, just full disclosure here, and they're selling little stickers down there. If it's not a Boeing, I'm not flying. And I would advise our viewers, listeners, to consider the airplane if you're doing flights. This only happens in rare occasions. But on the other hand, it's something to bring up. It needs to be discuss more openly, because obviously 148 people are dying, and they just need to be a complete disclosure.
And this is with here. This is with the Airbus?
Airbus 320 is the one that's been going down. This is like the fourth plane that's gone down.
Now that's something that's a correlation that maybe we'll hear more about that from major news outlets. Airbus 320, and that was not the basically all the different planes that have gone down of recent have been that same model, I guess I could say, for lack of a better term, Airbus 320.
Right, and the computer overrides the pilot, and this is something that now there are occasions, obviously, the pilot makes mistakes, pilot error and everything, where this is a valid, it's in a way it's just something that, you know, can be debated. On the other hand, when you lose like four planes, it's something that needs to be more than debated. They need to basically convene a board and put the Airbus people in the hot seat to basically come up with reasons they're doing what they're doing, because people's lives are at stake here.
So you've got Al, Susan, and Michael. You're listening to 1180 WFYL. It's a new day. If you just tuned in, welcome to the program. Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. So we're talking about, and this is newly developing, an Airbus A320 that has gone down in the southern French Alps. 148 people were on that flight, and it is suspected that there are no survivors. This is developing. We'll bring you news as it comes in, but the point that Al just brought up, he's been apparently following this particular model of plane, Airbus A320 or Airbus 320, because there is a computer override, apparently, over the manual pilot's control. Is that somehow linked? Because we have been seeing this particular kind of airplane.
It's in rough weather.
Crashing.
It happened in Indonesia in rough weather. Happened over the Atlantic going from Brazil. Of course, the Alps are the Alps, you know, so different. All this could be linked together. It might not be, obviously, but it's very suspicious.
Well, that could be. That may be something that we'll see more and more in the news as we will learn more on this and bring more to you, the listener, as soon as we can. Again, is there a possibility that the computer override system had some part to play? I would think for everyone involved that would not be the case. It's always the same with tragedies like this. No one wants to necessarily know of a way that it could have been easily averted, but there may be something here. There may not be. But we'll go ahead and bring you more of that as soon as we get the developments on that.
There's another story here on Newsmax that dovetails right into what you talked about earlier, Michael. It's Franklin Graham's statement, "When a nation rejects biblical law, the end is near." The outspoken son of famed televangelist Billy Graham has lashed out at President Barack Obama and Attorney General Eric Holder for jamming an immoral agenda down the throats of the American people. Reverend Franklin Graham, 62, who heads both the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association and the global charity Samaritan's Purse, took to Facebook Monday with his criticism, warning that when a nation founded on biblical laws and principles turns its back on God, the end is near. One of the greatest threats, this is a quote from Reverend Graham, one of the greatest threats to America is the progressives. Let me make clear, I've done a lot of reading. Progressives in the United States has often meant communist. So here's what Reverend Graham says. One of the greatest threats to America is the progressives, a new name for liberals, led by President Obama and his Attorney General Eric Holder, who are trying to impose a new morality, which is really no morality at all, jamming it down the throats of the American people. Graham writes, America has been blessed by God more than any other nation in the face of the earth. When our country was birthed, its foundations and laws are based on biblical laws and principles. We used to be one nation under God. And by the way, that under God came directly from this area, from a church on 420 that put recommended under God be put on our currency, which it is now, during the Civil War. We're in such a jam during the Civil War that the Congress rose up and put under God. Of course, we won the Civil War and our nation was preserved. Thank you, Lord. Hopefully, we'll be able to follow up on history and pray to God and put God more in the scheme of things so that he'll spare us for another 100 and some years. Now we're a nation that has turned its back on God. This is Reverend Graham talking. History shows that when nations do this, their end is near. And as I said, I think we need to humble ourselves and basically implore God's forgiveness for some of the things we've done. I don't think there's no exception to that as far as I'm concerned personally. But yes, we need to get right with God and implore his mercy on us. And I think you were right to bring it to our attention, Michael. This is something that every Christian should be willing to spend some time on his knees to beg God's forgiveness and spare our nation.
Well, and the idea behind morality, and again, the Reverend Graham's comment there, that it's really no morality at all. That's the whole idea behind postmodernism, that there is no right or wrong. We've got to head to a break. We're going to talk a little bit more about this and then move into some other items in the news. You're on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty. Call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. What do you think? We got a ton in the news just talking about Airbus 320 just crashed over the southern French Alps, and that Airbus having a computer override system that overrides the manual control of the pilots. Is there some link? Because there have been a number of these planes, Airbus 320, going down of recent. Is there some kind of link in all of that? We'll explore that, and we'll explore more as this develops. Always here at 1180 WFYL. And we've got that and so much more. We were just talking about the Reverend Graham and some of his statements that he was making, according to Newsmax, that he was saying that America has turned its back on God and essentially that this nation now is going to be underneath judgment, claiming that progressives, liberals, that all is linked together and that their morality is no morality. And this is why I said before we went off, The whole idea, and my generation especially, behind that thought is postmodernism, which is what is prevalent among our nation today, that there is no right or wrong. I remember when I was going through public school, that's basically what we were told. We were said, you know, if it's right for you, then it's right for you. If it's right for me, then it's right for me. I think that's why the millennial generation is so accepting of ideas like homosexual marriage. And many of them are not homosexual. Statistically, many Americans are not homosexual. In fact, it's a very tiny minority. But they sit there and go, listen, if that's what they want to do, then that's their life. It's not going to affect me. What we put forward to here on this show is that it does affect you. And it affects you because of God's word. It affects you because of walking away from God, and that there are consequences. And that's what the Reverend Graham was talking about. And you know what? It's not necessarily just confined to, quote, liberals and progressives. This goes even into conservatives. There are plenty of fiscal conservatives out there who are social liberals. Fiscally, they're conservative, but socially, they're not. They have no problem with ideas like homosexual, like marriage of homosexuals or abortion. They have no, socially, there's no bearing. But that is the crux of the issue, the hearts and minds. I even talked about this before on a program that a lot of people like President Obama and his administration, there is an idea that they could simply legislate power and force the people to do something. Every nation in history has tried to do that, and it has always been to no avail. It has always failed. That is why nations characteristically fail, because men try to abuse their power. And when they do that, every time men and women rebel, it is in our nature. We did it in the Garden of Eden. it will never work. Yet our politicians think that they could always get it to work, but it never will, because there always are the voices that speak out, because in all honesty, there is only one person that man answers to, and that's God. That's Jesus Christ. There's really only one person. We've got some different stories developing here. We've got, well, first of all, call in. Let's hear your opinion on some of this. 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK or 1-877-667-1180. Abroad, that's 1-877-667-1180. This is a new story. Israel reportedly spied on Iran nuclear talks in effort to lobby Congress against a deal. Are we seeing a growing trend of governments? And I am not necessarily advocating for Israel here. Are we seeing a growing trend of nations trying to bargain in other nations' politics? Trying to, and then the my point is, we have this story now. Before, everyone was really scrutinizing Hillary Clinton for her emails and the Clinton Foundation, which, while she was at the State Department, was receiving donations from foreign nations in the millions of dollars. The millions of dollars. And is that some kind of lobbying effort? Which that raised many questions, not above Republicans and conservatives. Of course it did among them, but also Democrats. I think that's going to be a bigger issue for her in the 2016 election than necessarily just the emails. It's going to be the Clinton Foundation, New York Times, I believe, and don't quote me on that, but basically major news outlet, one of their headlines read, is there a pay-to-play game going on with the Clinton Foundation? So are nations now trying to barter and trying to buy political seats in other nations to advance their agenda? Let's read a little bit. This is an article on FoxNews.com. Israel has spied on the ongoing nuclear talks with Iran as part of a campaign to convince members of Congress to oppose an agreement, according to a published report. The Wall Street Journal says that Israel's lobbying effort has angered Obama administration officials, of course, one of whom told the paper that, quote, something serious has shifted here. Quote, it is one thing for the U.S. and Israel to spy on each other. That's very amusing, actually, because every nation knows that they're all spying on one another. It is another thing for Israel to steal U.S. secrets and play them back to U.S. legislators to undermine U.S. policy. And I would say he has a point there. I'm all for supporting Israel. I am. But I don't necessarily agree with everything that they do. This may be a little bit out of their jurisdiction, I think I could say, and that's probably using it lightly. Other officials said Israel is one of the most aggressive countries in terms of spying on the U.S., along with Russia, China, and France. The claim was strongly denied by an Israeli official, which said the allegations were clearly, quote, clearly intended to undermine the strong ties between the United States and Israel and the security and intelligence relationship we share, unquote. According to the journal, The Wall Street Journal, Israel has denied spying on U.S. officials during the talks, relying on other methods, including surveillance of the Iranian negotiating team and information from European parties to the talks, particularly France, whose negotiating position has been considered to be the closest to Israel's. Quote, it seems quite probable it will happen, unfortunately. This is Yuval Steinitz said in Paris. He's talking about the deal that President Obama is working on with Iran. The deadline for both sides to agree is at the end of the month, with the completion of a final deal due to end on June. The journal reports that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Ambassador to the U.S. Ron Derner agreed to pursue a lobbying campaign against Congress sometime after an interim agreement. So Benjamin Netanyahu and Ambassador to the U.S. Ron Derner agreed to pursue a lobbying campaign against Congress sometime after an interim agreement was reached in 2013. When negotiations resumed members of the U.S. negotiating team were warned that Israel might try to access their communications. U.S. officials also gave Israel confidential briefings about the progress of the talks, but these were later curtailed by the White House out of fears that sensitive information might be leaked. This is absolutely, well, of course that's what the U.S. would do, but the idea that Israel would be spying. We have Faith joining us on the line right now. Faith, welcome to It's a New Day in 1180 WFYL. How you doing?
Well, great. Thank you.
Welcome to the program. It's wonderful to have you.
Well, I just so appreciate the whole new station. And,
Faith,
you know,
Faith, I'm sorry to cut you off. We actually have to head to a quick break.
Sure.
Stay on the line. We're going to bring you on. We'll be back on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL.